not the absence of any contrary circumstance or contrary situation. Faith is remaining convinced of the reality of the word in the face of whatever may be happening. Whether there is peace, whether there is safety, or whether there is trouble, faith is about maintaining that assurance and that conviction. Hallelujah. Amen. And in addition to sharing her testimony, I hope that it has also helped you to see, in spite of all that she's gone through, in spite of all that she's going through, how she's still holding on strong to the reality of the word of God. Hallelujah. Concerning her health, many of you may not understand, you know. Maybe you should read up connective tissue disorders and just see what it may mean, or what it may portend, or what it may cause in a person's body, and then you start to understand. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know, I must say one thing. Debbie has been a blessing to my life personally, and a whole source of encouragement. And you will remain so, Debbie. We're gonna have more time together, sharing one another. You know, she was in my house over the weekend. You know, I have to say it, you know. I can't remember anybody else that has done that in this church, you know. She came over, slept over in our house, and blessed us wonderfully with material things. You know, it was such a wonderful time. And I look forward that we're going to have greater times together. And so you're not dying yet. You're going to be here with us. And you're going to be an instrument in the hand of God to reach more people. That is my assurance. And you see, we're going to give another testimony another time, and we'll be talking of those things as being in the past. That's my firm belief. And we're going to see it. Hallelujah. Amen. Please open your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. I'll just preach for 20 minutes, since our time is far gone. And then we'll continue some other time. Ephesians chapter 4. I've been talking on the subject, living the new life in Christ. And the last sermon, or the last two sermons, preaching from Ephesians chapter 4, we're talking about abandoning the old and embracing the new. I want to continue this morning, Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 25. It says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Hallelujah. This section on living the new life in Christ Jesus, I've titled Portraits of the New Life. Basically, in the last two sermons, I was talking about the need for us to abandon the old life, a life that we'd had before we became born again, and a life that we still see prevalent all around us in the society, at work, all around us on the streets, and that we are very well familiar with. And I encourage us to abandon that life and to take on the new life in Christ Jesus. The last time we looked at the importance of renewing the mind as being central to that exchange, to exchanging the old life and taking on the new. It comes as we renew our minds. And what this section in Ephesians starts to then show us is to actually depict what kind of characteristics the new life is supposed to be about. Initially, I described what the old life was about, how that the old life is about the futility of mind, lack of sensitivity, and abandoned sensuality, and all of that. And then it starts to describe to us Okay, if we're going to take on a new life, what's this new life about? What sort of things will this new life be about? And that's what I mean by portraits of the new life. In the next 15 minutes, I hope I can get on with at least one of those things. Verse 25, it says, put away falsehood and let every man speak truthfully to his neighbor. The old life is one that is characterized by falsehood. Ask your neighbor, did anybody teach you how to lie? Answer now. Okay, answer. Yeah, someone taught you. No one taught you, right? Let me read some things that I found from some Greek wise men. Some sayings. One of them said, a lie is better than a hurtful truth. Another one says, Plato, famous philosopher. He says, he may lie. Who knows how to do it in a suitable time? Darius said, when telling a lie will be profitable, let it be told. Proclus, he said, good is better than truth. Without reading any of these sayings, you probably have never heard those sayings, right? This is the first time you are hearing them. But naturally, you have been practicing these things in the past. When it's suitable, when it is good, when it's profitable, you can just quickly utilize a lie. In fact, I remember Titus chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul writing about the Cretans. He said, one of their poets has said, the Cretans are always liars. Liars. This world is a world of lies. Everybody lies. Male, female, young, old, illiterate, literate. Which other category? Rich, poor, black, white, Christian or not, everybody just lies. In these days of mobile phones, hallelujah. Usually I'm in a car or in a bus. And then someone goes, we are on Third Mainland Bridge. We say, Mo Anka do not say, It's so easy. It comes so very easy. I remember when I was in secondary school, I won't call his name in case you know him, but he was one of my classmates. He was a pathological liar. In fact, he got so bad, we started measuring lies with a short form of his name. We used to say, if someone lies, say, you've done 2 odukes per second. He was the unit for lying. This guy lied so much, it was difficult to know which one was the truth. I'm sure in his mind, he would have been confused. He had a diary. Let me tell you how bad it was. He had a diary, and he would lie in his diary. He lived in Lagos. We schooled in Suleja, Niger State. And this guy used to come by road every time. They had every parents association had a group, and then we would all travel to school in a group. So, for example, those of us that lived in Ilorin, we would all travel to Suleja in a group. In a hired bus. The same way too, of course, the Lagos people, they were more. But there were a few Lagos guys who used to come by air. My friend never came to school by air. But every time in his diary, you say, dear diary, I just arrived Abuja. It's fantasy. He went as far as telling us, he had this recorder, you know, this flute. And he said he bought it in Italy. No, we weren't really very sure. At the time he said he had some eye surgery, and I held in Barcelona, and I was at the time when Barcelona Olympics was going on, and so he just branched and watched the opening ceremony. Why? If I got to a time when some senior boys wanted to amuse themselves, just say send for that boy. And he'll start, tell us about that Barcelona trip. And then he'll start laughing. He became a comical figure. Well, that's a joke, right? But you know that there are some people that out of practice, habitually, we embrace falsehood, we embrace lying, we embrace cheating. And it's all part of the same old life. Politicians, when a politician tells you this now, you know,
He says that I'll provide roads for you. Just know that there is no road. It's that bad. Teachers lie. Who doesn't lie? Artisans. You say, you ask an artisan, when would this job be ready? You say Monday. Just add two weeks. Because he tells you, how much does this cost? Say 2,000. Just know that the price of that good is actually like one quarter. Yeah, I didn't know. I used to buy things anyhow. I just go there. Just tell me, what's the price? Just say 2,500. I say, hey, can't you accept 2,300? Say, ah, okay, let me do it for you. All right, 2,300. I'll get home. I'll say, ah. I was in the car with someone on Friday. Wanted to buy a bed sheet. In traffic, the guy said 3,350. Ah, my friend said, 3,500. No. He said 1,200. I was like 1,200 from 3,500. I didn't talk. I just kept quiet. And this guy kept running after us in traffic. He said, no, 2,000 last. The guy said 1,200. Afterwards, the guy said, oh, yeah, bring, sha. Yeah, if it was me, I would have bought that thing like 3,000 or something. Then I asked him, did you know that the bed sheet is sold for 1,200? He said, no, I just know that when I'm in traffic and they give me a particular price, I do 1/3 of the amount. And it's so bad. I read about the story of a certain man, a Christian, who had a powerful testimony. Let me give you an example. Someone like Debbie now. Such a wonderful testimony. And this man kept giving his testimony time after time. But you know what? This testimony kept getting better. He would add something little. After about 5 years, the man of God saw him and said, you don't share your testimony anymore. The man said, sorry, I don't even actually know the testimony anymore. Because I have modified it over the years. He had to come clean and say, I don't know the truth anymore. And you see, it's about a lifestyle. But what's the origin of falsehood? What's the origin of deceit? John chapter 8. Let's look at that. John chapter 8. I must rush now. John chapter 8. Verse 44. Jesus speaking, he says, you belong to your father. Not to you guys. He was speaking to the dealers. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. When he speaks a lie, he speaks his native language. It means he speaks from, it's like you have an abundance of something, and then he just brings out one. He'll just give you one. Because that's all that he is. To make it worse, the devil has helped us and developed such a world system that is based on deceit, based on lies. Everywhere you go, most likely the next advert that you hear that will tell you that this drug can do this, you can be almost sure that it's not the truth. And somehow it's ingrained in the lifestyle that we see all around us. And people lie to for different reasons. I looked at scripture and I saw a few that we can relate to. Generally, when most people lie, it's for two reasons. Mainly. One is for self-preservation, and the other one is for self-satisfaction. When people lie, if you look at it, at the bottom of it, one is self-satisfaction, the other one is self-preservation. You ask a child, you just broke the glass. You ask the child, did you break it? The child thinks, if I say I broke it, mommy is going to beat me. So you say, the simplest answer is, I don't know. I don't know. Look at Matthew. See an example of this. Matthew, I believe it's chapter 21. Matthew 21. From verse 33. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things? They asked. And who gave you this authority? Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men? When they discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we're afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Diplomacy. You know, we'll say that. Just be diplomatic. Most of the time, once people start saying, be diplomatic, they're actually telling you to start telling lies. Then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. There are two options. They could either say it was from heaven or from men. If they had said it was from heaven, Jesus would have told them, ah, but John preached, and you guys didn't. You didn't accept him. Why? Then he would have made them look bad. So that was about their own self-gratification and their own self-satisfaction. On the other hand, they knew that if they had said John's baptism was from men, the people saw John as knew that John was from God. So if they had said, ah, this is from men, then the people would have turned against them. In the end, it was about their own self-preservation also. Look at Acts chapter 5, for example. Why did Ananias and Sapphira lie? Why? Why? The money was theirs from the beginning. The land was theirs. But you see, they lied for two reasons. One, they wanted to keep back part of the money. So it was about their own self-satisfaction. And yet, they wanted to appear like they were also giving. So in the eyes of the people too, they wanted it to seem like they were doing something great or something good. But you know what Peter said to them? He said, why has the devil filled your heart? Because you see, at the back of every lie, at the back of every falsehood, at the back of every deceit, at the back of every sort of duplicity, you find the devil standing there. Because it originated from him. Lying is so bad that Revelation 21 and verse 8 describes and says that habitual liars, they are going to hell. You know, people only think that, a fornicator, adulterer, that's bad. Lying is as bad because it comes from the same source, the same root, the same sort of motivation as those ones came from. Where is that motivation? It comes from the old life. And for us as believers, is a life we should abandon. You see a believer who is habitually lying, you need to warn him. That's not your nature. We translate or transmit from a world of lies to a world of truth in scripture as believers. We translate from a world that is based on deceit to one that is founded on reality. In the first place, for us as people who are born again, when we become born again, God comes into our lives and is a God that is described as one who is full of truth. Look at Exodus. Exodus chapter 34. When God was going to describe himself, so to speak, to Moses. Exodus 34. James chapter 1 and verse 17. He says, every good and perfect gift come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. He says, God that cannot lie, promised from before the world began. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. He says, let God be true and every man a liar. We're in a relationship with a God who is a God of truth. Exodus 34. If you are there before me, go to verse 6. From verse 5, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands. In the KJV, it would say abounding in truth. Abounding in truth. The same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4, Psalm 86 and verse 15. It's not only that we deal with a God who is a God of truth. It's also the fact that we've been born again by the word of truth. James 1 and verse 18, of his own free will begat he us by the word of truth. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, it says we are born again, not of an incorruptible seed, but of the imperishable seed, which is the word of God. John 17 and verse 17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. The third reason, right now, as you're seated there as a believer, we start talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is residing in you, and John chapter 16 calls him the Spirit of Truth. Our nature now is different. We are no longer of the old nature that if it was pressed in any way, the first thing that will come out will be a lie. We now are in such a state where our nature is one of truth. And that must be our outlook. That must be our presentation. It's not one of falsehood, not one of deceit, but one that is eager and looking out for the truth. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, he says, speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth. And you know what he actually describes? It's about an attitude we ought to have. He says, putting off falsehood, meaning as a principle or as a way of life, you shed off that mindset and that outlook that makes it easy to so easily go into lying and duplicity, and to take up one that is actually focused on truth and truthfulness. There are many reasons in scripture, many verses in scripture that tell us how that the Lord lies detests lying. Proverbs chapter 6 says there are six things. Yeah, seven things are an abomination to the Lord. A proud look. The next one, lying lips. Lying lips. But Paul doesn't even give us that as the reason why we should put up lying. That's valid. The Lord detests lying. It's out of character with God. You can't be in a relationship with God who is a God of truth and then be one who is so easily given to lying. That's out of character. Also, the fact that the way we live our lives actually beautifies the gospel. Titus chapter 2 and verse 10. He describes certain things and says, see, when you do these things, you'll be adorning the doctrine. You know how it is? You know, there are some people who start talking in their places of work, and I mean, they start attempting to preach, and so I say, you're preaching, but you just lied. In that sense also, we need to have that kind of sense to recognize that the way we live our lives actually goes a long way in beautifying the gospel. But this morning I'll touch on what Paul says is the main reason why we should not lie to one another. I mean, when I say lying to one another, I mean in church. You know, it happens very often. In relationships, we are not open to one another. We are not honest with one another. And Paul says, because we are one body. Because we are one body. I'm a doctor, so I can give you this illustration. There are certain illnesses and diseases where it appears that the body starts lying to itself. Let me give you a good example. Diabetes can get so bad that the nerves malfunction. There's a man, he was traveling from Ibadan to Ilorin, and he sat in an area of the bus where the exhaust pipe was directly under his feet, and he didn't know, and the heat kept burning through his shoes till it burnt his feet. He was smelling burning flesh, and he was like, something is smelling here, maybe it's the tire. His feet were burning. He didn't realize. You think of lepros.
You many times when we think of leprosy, we think of people whose hands are somehow.
You know, the main hallmark of leprosy is that the person can't feel things.
I remember the story they told us when I was in school. A young lady, she was always feeling cool. She was a house help. So if they tell her to bring something from the fire, she would just move it away from the fire and say, it's not burning me. I can't feel it. Yeah, I'm feeling cool. Say, I can hold a burning pot. I can hold a hot pot. She had leprosy and she didn't know. You see, what happens is that in those kind of situations, the nerves are not transmitting to the brain anymore that there's something wrong. And that portends a whole lot of trouble for the body. There are things we call autoimmune disorders, where your own cells in the body, your immune cells, will see your own body cells as something else, like a foreign agent, and start fighting and attacking those body cells. In that case, it's one part of the body lying to the other one. There's no connection. Imagine you want to eat. You are holding a piece of meat with a fork, and then your brain tells your hand that your mouth is not your mouth, but your eye is your mouth. And so you take that meat and you stick it in your eye. How would it be? It would be chaos. It would be damage. That is what happens when we lie to one another. Damage. Many times irreparable. Our relationships are supposed to be founded on honesty, where we can now build each other up with honesty and with all form of, you know, truthfulness. We damage those relationships and we do not make ourselves open for the ministry of the Spirit. You see, the power of the Holy Spirit is more active and more felt amongst us when we are open and honest with one another as we share with one another. That's why Ephesians 4 and verse 15 will say, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him. So it's not about deceiving people. And when there's a problem, you say, well, don't worry, it's fine. No, it's about opening up and speaking with one another in all honesty, with all form of candidness and all of that. Speaking the truth in love. Turn to your neighbor. Nobody taught you how to lie. But now you must stop lying. You must put away falsehood and speak truthfully. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We'll continue. As we talk about anger, how angry are you? Say, when I'm angry, nobody can hold me. That is the old life. We'll talk about forgiveness. Say, I'm cool, but when you hurt me, I can't forgive you. That's the old life. And those are things that we must put away as we live our new life in Christ Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray to God this morning. We thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Father. We give you glory. We give you praise. We have a new life in Christ Jesus. We've abandoned, so to speak, that old nature of deceitfulness. And now we must start to practice the characteristics of the new life. Can you start to think about it and make it a point of duty to order your life that way? We have within us the Spirit of God. We've been born again by the word of truth. And we deal with a God who is a God of truth. There are important reasons for us to take up that attitude of honesty in everything that we do, in our relationship with one another. We thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. We give you praise. We give you thanks, O God. We honor you, O God. We honor you, O God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. We give you thanks. We worship you. We thank you, Father. And I just can't get away from this song. It's been coming to my heart over and over and over again. And I'd like us to sing it together. It's a song we all know, I believe. This is my desire
to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
Restrict his influence, or we restrict his dominion.
expects from us is to relinquish total control to Him. Let me ask you, your desires, your plans, all the things that you're doing, have you brought them before the feet of the Master? Your attitude, your actions, your beliefs, your convictions, your character. Have you actually laid them at the feet of the Master? You see, God is set to do great things in our lives. But we must allow Him. We must allow Him to have His way. We must allow Him to have His way. Are there particular areas in your life that the Holy Spirit has been nudging you, speaking to your heart? You need to heed the voice of the Spirit of God. Let Him have His way. Are there places in your life, sections and sectors in your life, where you said, oh God, no, you can't go beyond here. You can't limit God. You can't place any restriction on Him. You need to let go. You need to let go. For the whole of our lives right now, they belong to Him. And we will get the best benefit when we let Him work His work in our lives. Father, we thank You. Thank You for the new life that we have, the new life that we possess. Thank You because Jesus has made our lives completely new. And thank You, O God, because we will take steps to align ourselves with our newness of life. We will take steps to align our conduct with our convictions. Thank You, Father, because we begin to take steps day after day, moment after moment, to exhibit the new character that You are producing in us by Your Spirit. We thank You, we bless Your name, we give You praise, O God. We worship and adore You, Father.
Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for Your word spoken in simplicity and in truth. Thank You, God, because we would not just be hearers of this word, but we will be doers of the word. We will commit to it. We would submit to Your lordship and Your instruction. We would allow these words have full use, full benefit in our lives, in Jesus' name.